Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with us today. If you've been listening already, thank you for that. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad you're here. We're glad to be here in Salt Lake City. That's where I'm broadcasting from. As I said earlier in the hour, if it sounds different, it's because it is different. We're traveling. We're on the road. And when we're on the road, we use different equipment. And that makes it sound maybe just a little bit different. And we appreciate you listening to us as we move around the country and visit with a lot of different people. But someone who isn't in Salt Lake City, who's still in Washington, D.C., he likes it inside the Beltway, is our good friend Don Lambrew. Don is a chief political reporter for the Washington Times and our nation's capital. Don Lambrew, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Maybe it's better if I was outside the Beltway and over in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, we need to get you out of the Beltway more often, Jim.
Get out into the real world, absolutely.
Well, no, I actually feel safer, Don, with you being inside the Beltway, because when I feel the safest is when you're inside the Beltway and our politicians are outside the Beltway, when they've gone home and they can't, you know, they can't gaggle together and create mayhem on Capitol Hill. I'm always feel a little safer when they do that. But
I agree with you. The country's all a little safer. And our wallets are certainly a little safer when Congress is away. They're back in business again. And I think things are moving here in Washington on a number of fronts that are positive.
What's the big news in Washington, D.C. right now that's not being reported? What's the big news that's not being reported?
Well, I'm sure it's not being reported, but not being reported very much. And, of course, I think the big news is what is going on in the Senate. Well, Bill Frist plans to force a rules change, not really a rules change, a rules restoration to require a majority vote on judicial nominations, and he's going to make that test case on Texas Supreme Court Justice Priscilla Owens,
right,
whose nomination has been dangling in the wind now for 4 years because the Democrats have been blocking her to be a member of the Fifth Circuit U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. And that's the big news. It's called the nuclear option. I think it's a terrible term they're applying to what he's going to do.
Right.
It really is a restoration option to go back to the way it was for most of our 200 years, where you didn't require a supermajority of 60 votes to vote up or down on a Supreme Court on a judicial nominee by the president, but just a simple majority, and that's all that Frist is asking, and that's all the Republicans want. The president wants.
Well, what?
And she's going to be the test case.
What did President Clinton get when he was in the office and the Senate was in control was controlled by Republicans? What did his judicial nominees get?
I don't know the number of that. There were judicial nominees by Clinton that were blocked by the Republicans for one reason or another, but not to the extent they are being blocked now. So the question is, should these judicial nominees by the president, under the Constitution of the advice and consent rule, be blocked from an up or down vote? The Constitution only says that they offer their advice and consent, and that, of course, in the committee process, in the confirmation process. But it says nothing that says you must have a supermajority before you can approve these judicial nominees.
And that's what
they want to do. They want to restore it back to the way it was and has been and has worked well for our country.
Well, the only way the supermajority comes into play from a legal standpoint, if I understand it correctly, Don, is because if the Republicans want to push a nominee, the Democrats will filibuster, and it takes a supermajority to end a filibuster.
That's correct. It takes 60 votes to end the debate, technically doesn't really end the debate. You have many hours still to go, but it's limited. And then you must proceed to a vote. And the vote is as a majority vote. And you vote the nominee up or down. What has happened with nominees like Texas Supreme Court Justice Priscilla Owen, and she is going to be the test case on this first option, is that they haven't been allowed to come up for a vote. The Democrats said, we don't want to proceed to a vote, and that's how they want to kill it, kill these nominees that they're opposed
to. What is it the Democrats don't like about Priscilla Owen?
Well, I think they think she's too conservative. It basically comes down to that. Judges that are too conservative, they think they are, and that she's just basically a conservative, strict constructionist judge, and they don't want that.
When is this standoff going to happen?
Well, I think it's probably going to happen very soon. We don't have an actual
this week?
Time. Probably later this month.
Yeah. Stand by, Don. We're going to take a quick break, folks, in 22. We'll be right back with our good friend Don Lambro, chief political reporter for the Washington Times. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend Don Lambro, chief political reporter for the Washington Times, in our nation's great, great capital. And Don, you know, I was just there a couple of weeks ago for Small Business Week.
Oh, okay.
And we had a good time. We whooping it up for small business during our annual pilgrimage there to help the SBA celebrate, Small Business Week. Don, As they say out west, I think they probably say this out west. The fur is going to fly in May, isn't it, in the Senate?
Well, I think it is. Certainly, with the whole battle over the judicial judges, and I think Frist is going to cut the Gordian knot on that and get us back to some stability and tradition. And then, of course, the Bolton nomination. John R. Bolton nominated to be the ambassador to the United Nations. I think that vote is going to go through the committee and get to the floor, and I think he will be approved. He's a tough person who has maybe hurt the feelings of some intelligence people when he thought that the information he was getting wasn't the information he should be getting. But I think in Washington, no one has a fault with that because maybe our intelligence people need to have be called on the mat.
Don, why is it that some people think that all these jobs should be like a tea party and we should all, you know, play nice and play patty cake? I mean, some of this government and diplomacy and intelligence is not a tea party. It's rough stuff sometimes, isn't it?
The real world is not a tea party, and it is rough, and Bolton has a reputation being tough and rough, and anywhere else would you need someone like that, but in the United Nations, which is awash in corruption, and a lot of disreputable countries there who are out to do us no good, and someone who asks tough questions. I see Condoleezza Rice, the Secretary of State, was saying that he is an interested, what the evidence shows, he's an interested consumer of intelligence and asked difficult questions. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think so either. This is a body that needs to be put right, and I think Bolton is the man who could do it.
I'm more disgusted with the UN every day, and I'm more disgusted now than I've ever been before. And every time I hear about what a tough cookie Bolton is, the more I'm convinced he's the man for the job.
Absolutely, particularly with the corruption scandals that have just besmirched this agency, and I think Senator Norm Coleman of Minnesota, who has been investigating that, says if anybody is needed there now in this kind of environment, you need someone like a tough guy like Bolton, and I think the Senate is coming around to that point of view.
Right. So in the month of May, is it safe to say, Don, that by the end of the month of May, we will find out who is really in charge of the Senate, the Democrats or the Republicans?
Well, the Senate has been moving some stuff forward under Frist, and that's also been one of the little noticed stories. But I think May is going to be a big month. I think you're absolutely right, Jim, on the judicial front, on the nomination of the U.N. ambassador. And that's going to be big for Frist, who has presidential ambitions every now and then. It's going to be big for the president to show that all these gloom and doomers that he is he's been weakened in his second term and not getting what he wants. I think that'll kind of break the logjam. And then you're going to see a lot of bills that are going to start moving further forward in the Senate and in the House.
What are some other things that are going on in Washington, D.C. right now that that you think are not being reported as much as they should be?
Well, I think the decline of the deficit, you had this huge increase in tax revenues before April 15th, the tax deadline. And something on the order of, I think the deficit declined by about, estimated deficit by about $55 billion. That's a very large drop in this past quarter. And I think what's happening, of course, is the economy is continued to be strong. Earnings have been strong. Capital gains have been strong. So all of that has resulted in a much higher increase in revenues that had been previously anticipated. We have a huge deficit this year, as you know. It was estimated like $431 billion. Now it may be down to $350, maybe $360. That's still huge in any one year. And, of course, the big factor in that is the 9/11 and all of the dislocations that followed 9/11, economic, military, and otherwise. And so I think it shows that the deficit is moving in the right direction and that the numbers are coming down. And it's always surprising when you see, and we had a surplus in this current quarter of revenue, and we'll have to see whether that maintains. But the deficit can go up, but it can go down very quickly as well.
And if we could get these petroleum prices back to some kind of a manageable level, I think the economy is, if the economy is shuddering a little bit right now, it's simply because and singularly because of the high oil prices.
Oh, absolutely. And that's some good news that we've seen in the last week now, where gas prices have been coming down, and that is because of that oil production has been going up. When you have more of something, the price falls, and we have actually a glut of oil on the market, and I think you're going to see that affecting gas prices. And gasoline refinery is increasing, and, of course, that increase in supply will bring the price down. So that's a welcome sign right there, and with the fact that the economy is still growing anywhere from 3 to 4%, I think it's probably closer to 4%, and fantastic corporate earnings news.
Well, also, Doug, that's really good news. When we come back after these messages, I want you to give us the report on the jobs situation, and we'll do that right after these messages. Don Lambro is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's chief political reporter with the Washington Times. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm the chief political reporter here at the Small Business Advocate Show. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, broadcasting live from Salt Lake City, Utah. Don Lambro is with us. He's most of the country away in Washington, D.C., chief political reporter for the Washington Times. And your website, Don, is WashingtonTimes.com, isn't it?
That's correct.
They can find your byline on that site, I know. And you're in, what, something under 1,000 other newspapers around the country?
I wish.
But you're something under 1,000.
A nice bunch of papers, and I'm happy to have them.
Well, and folks, I hope you'll look for Don's byline. And also, folks, I'm envious of Don for many things, but one of the things I'm envious of him is that he wrote a book called Fat City. And I'm envious of him because it was one of Ronald Reagan's favorite books. And so, Don, that's a claim to fame that I envy you for, and I want to congratulate you on that.
A little effort to try to shine some light on wasteful spending. Of course, Reagan was really great on that issue and pounded away at it as he should have, and as we should do more of it.
Don, do you think, by the way, quickly, report on the jobs. I'm going to do that, and then I want to move to Iraq. Give us a quick report on the jobs.
Well, a tremendous jobs report for last month. 275,000 increase, and not only that, but the previous 2 months they revised, as they often do, in the Labor Department, the number of jobs, 100,000 more than they originally estimated in the previous 2 months. So the jobs picture has really, really improved, and it shows our economy is really cooking. And I think we had 3.1% growth in the first quarter. I think it's going to be revised upward to closer to 4%.
Even with high oil prices, it's amazing how resilient our economy is. Do you have a total number of how many jobs it's been estimated have been created in 2005?
I don't. I think in the last 2 years, it's been roughly around 2 million.
Right.
2.5 million,
right.
In the last, and so that has really gone up, and in a variety, in a broad number of sectors, from healthcare to financial services. Manufacturing is still the tough nut, that has not shown the growth.
And that's not going to change, Don. That's going to continue, even if the economy does well. Manufacturing is always going to be soft, for many reasons. But I want to move over to Iraq, and I want to ask you this question. There's still a lot of insecurity in Iraq. There's still a lot of challenges over there with the insurgents. But isn't there a tremendous success story from a democracy standpoint in Iraq that's really kind of going underreported? I mean, shouldn't we be celebrating the progress they're making instead of just merely reporting it from time to time in the middle of insurgent attacks?
Well, I think we should, and of course, that part of the story, which is the most important part, short-term and long-term, just doesn't get reported in the nightly news, and you just see the latest battle or insurgency attack. But the United States has been rebuilding that country at a phenomenal rate. A large part of the focus of our military really is on the rebuilding efforts. It doesn't get the attention. The schools opening, businesses opening, communities getting back to normal, people going about their businesses. But in a terrible situation where there can be a suicide bomber in downtown Baghdad and other towns, and extremists coming into police stations and shooting people, innocent civilians. It's the Iraqis who are bearing the brunt of this, really. They're the ones who are dying by the thousands. But our own boys are there in harm's way. It's a tough job.
And girls.
But the country is really moving in the right direction. And yesterday it was great to see that a U.S. offensive killed about 100 insurgents on the border with Syria. And after we did Fallujah, if you recall, things really quieted down there. So I think that the message is hit them hard. And the government has finally filled all of its positions in Iraq.
And that government's
moving forward.
With plenty of diversity in those positions too.
Boy,
right?
Do they ever. To have a Sunni in charge of defense.
How about that?
That sends quite a message. And the Sunnis, of course, didn't want to even participate in the elections, although many did. That just shows they're making a superhuman effort to saying everybody's going to be part of this government and this government is going to succeed.
Don, thank you for being here today. You always do such a great job of giving us a report on what's happening. It's a pleasure to have you as our friend and as a member of our Brain Trust.
Jim, it's been great, and I'm glad you're there.
Thank you very much. Don Lambrew, ladies and gentlemen, the author of Fat City, the chief political reporter for the Washington Times and one of the smartest guys in Washington, D.C. He'll be back again real soon, I promise. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.